For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The fourth, the final, the best, the money hour. The Rob Brown Show starts right now, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. It's the Fan of State. Happy to have you all. I am Rob Brown, the Greatman Lonzo, on the ones and twos this AM. As we have been all around the world of athletic competition so far today, we have talked about the Clippers' new Intuit Center and all of the amenities that come along with a basketball team that still can't win. Good job, James Harden. Appreciate you being James Harden. You keep me entertained, if nothing else. The Charlotte Hornets go on the road, get the first dub of the 2024 campaign over the Houston Rockets. And, of course, I mentioned for no reason other than my own enjoyment and pleasure, the New Orleans Pelicans 1-0 after a win over the Chicago Bulls to open the season last night. Not to talk about that, although we may or may not, we'll find out, as our next guest. He is the executive producer of BetMGM tonight, a host and an analyst for the NFL, the NBA, and whatever else we decide to talk about. From the BetQL Network, Hatin' Ass Mario, a.k.a. Mario Heron, joins us every Thursday at 9 o'clock here on The Rob Brown Show. What's up, fella?
I'm recovering from the Bulls loss and just getting prepared. Like, the Bulls are going to be absolutely miserable all year. And
sure.
I call them the Bleacher Report team, because every 2 weeks you're going to get a notification from Bleacher Report saying, trades incoming. Zach LaVine, going to be gone. Vucevic, going to be gone. So they're going to be the Bleacher Report team all year long. And so get excited.
Listen, at least those guys aren't Joel Embiid, is all I'm saying. My man said, not doing bad. I thought Kevin Garnett was going to have an aneurysm the other day on his podcast when he was talking about this. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
And it's like, also, Joel Embiid, keep some stuff to yourself. Don't say out, you know what I mean? Like, don't say out loud, I don't care about the regular season anymore. I don't care about MVP. I don't care about any of this, blah, blah, blah. You're putting a target on your back. And also, I mean, similar to not, you know, something similar to the Zion situation, but all we hear all offseason is he's so, like, determined. His head's on straight. He loses weight, lost like 20 to 30 pounds. If you see him, like, in his workouts, he's skinny, man. He looks like a different guy. And then the first 2 weeks of the season, he's like going to be out. And then the same with Zion, where like he looks jacked, looks great. They're like, oh, this is the most in shape he's ever been. Doesn't even play the first game. But the Joel Embiid, look, the Sixers are playing a dangerous game with him and Paul George. And so far, it's pretty dangerous. That Bucks game didn't look good last night.
We are going to, of course, as we roll on through the football season, also get some NBA stuff in with Mario, as the NBA season officially underway with every other team that didn't play on Wednesday or Tuesday night playing last night. But want to stick with the NFL for right now. And obviously the big news this week was DeAndre Hopkins moving from Tennessee up to Kansas City. It's interesting. Because on one hand, we talked a little bit about this morning, Mario, so I'll let you ask the same question that I asked of our listening audience this AM. DeAndre Hopkins' numbers this year, not real good. But then again, there's also Calvin Ridley, who's a 1,000-yard wide receiver who has like 200 so far this year. Is Calvin Ridley more a 32-year-old wide receiver who's past his prime and therefore not much help to the Chiefs? Or are the Tennessee Titans with Will Levis behind their offensive coordinator, Nick Holtz, just a real bad football team that held DeAndre Hopkins back, and he will be a big help to Kansas City? Which of those, if either, do you think is more true?
Oh, I think he was held back in Tennessee 1,000%. I mean, he had Will Levis and Mason Rudolph throwing him the football, and they expect him to be really good. No, not at all. Like, if you watch every Tennessee Titans game, they're in the game, and then Will Levis goes, no, I want to lose the game now. And then he makes a boneheaded play, and then they're behind the eight ball, then they lose the game. He goes over to Kansas City, and whatever you see happen every time someone goes to Kansas City, they find success. You know, they find a good role in the offense. They're suddenly, they're open on every play. and they look like a great receiver. You want an example? Juju Smith-Schuster. Holy hell, that guy just looked like he did not have it anymore. Didn't really look like he could be a valuable asset. He goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. Suddenly he's open all the time. Suddenly he's making plays. It's a system that works. It's a system that is very hard to beat in the NFL, and the team that's the best currently just got better. And it was a smart move, in my opinion. Mahomes has, you know, been struggling this year. He's already has 8 interceptions on the year. He's thrown more picks than he has touchdowns. They need help in the passing game. Why not go out and get a guy that's committed to winning right now, that has done it before, and that just really wants one more ring, and you know he's going to buy in right away. And at the same time, you don't have to, you know, get a young guy, because you're a young guy. You already got 2, and Rashee Rice, who's sadly out this year, and then Xavier Worthy. You just need more leadership in there. I think it was a perfect move for the Kansas City Chiefs, and it just shows that they're competing for a championship, and a lot of other teams in their division are just competing.
Yeah, no, I very much concur with that take. I think that I really want Will Levis to be successful, because the dude kills me. The mayonnaise cologne over the offseason was one of my favorite stupid offseason stories I've ever seen.
You would.
I love you it. It's objectively hysterical. I don't care what you say. But then I got the same dude out there that goes on the field and he's like trying to make Patrick Mahomes style plays with the falling over backwards, flipping it backwards, whatever. Except the difference is Mahomes makes it happen and Will Levis makes me pull my glorious hair up out of my head. It's ridiculous. I want to push that slider over towards the Titans are just that bad. That everybody on that team is being held back by how bad they are collectively. Cooper Kupp was the other variable in this story. Diana Rossini reported early in the week that the Rams were shopping Cooper Kupp around and were looking for a second-round pick. Got reported yesterday the Chiefs actually were interested in Cooper Kupp and tried to make a move, but didn't want to give up a full second-round pick plus take on a huge chunk of salary. His cap number is like $29 million next year for a guy who is a very good but glorified slot-wide receiver. Where, if anybody, do you think Cooper Kupp ends up with, or do the Rams just have to eat that contract?
I mean, it's a tough ask, because on top of the contract, you see his age. He's 31. In the last 3 seasons, he's played 9 games, 12 games, and he's only played 2 games this year. So how healthy is he really? You know, even when healthy, obviously he's a very good football player, but I would look at that and be kind of scared if I was just any team. I know, you know, just doing the Bolt Crew podcast, you can find anywhere you get your podcast. A lot of people, a lot of Charger fans, like, that's a move that needs to be made. He doesn't have to move. You know, it doesn't have to barely have to go to a different facility on Sundays. Like, this is a great move. Like, let's go ahead and do anything we can to get him. But at the same time, I think that asking price is a lot, that contract is a lot, that age is not where you want it to be, and the injury history is really not where you want it to be. I think it could be the Bucs, the Chargers are in that mix, but at the same time, and I don't know how comfortable I would be trading for a guy. I just really do not know if he's going to be on the field. Like, we just really do not know, you know. And I don't know if I would want to take that risk if I'm trying to win now, right now. I think the best play, if you're in the receiver market, is call Tennessee and do anything you can to get Calvin Ridley. I think that's, like, your best option. Or, you know, maybe see if the Panthers are willing to do some business with Deontay Johnson.
Trade deadline just around the corner right now. I was putting together, because we're gonna focus on this next week as we move one spot closer to the deadline. But I started building my list of potential buyers and sellers across. I'm gonna give you the list of sellers I put together. Tell me okay. If there's anybody that you think A, should not be on there or won't be on there, and why. I've got Carolina as a seller, Tennessee, Cleveland, New York, Jacksonville, the Rams, and the Dolphins at 2-4 as sellers of talent this year. I thought about putting the Patriots on there. I just don't know what they have to sell, so I don't know if it's going to matter.
Yeah.
But is there anybody you do or don't like on that list?
Patriots are like if they had a yard sale, but it was like a college house, and everyone's like, no, we do not want a couch that has beer all over it, and someone pissed on it last weekend. Like, no thanks. That's what they have. I think the New York Giants is a tough sell to me, because the moves they made this past offseason would tell me that they wouldn't do anything to, you know, let any of their guys go away. I think they believe that they're building something. So I don't see them selling. I see them just kind of riding out this year with Daniel Jones and just going, all right, we have to do anything we can to get a quarterback. So I don't think they will sell. Dolphins, I don't think so either, because I think they truly believe that when Tua is back, they can make a run. Like, they look at their division and go, the Jets are in a just toilet situation. Patriots are, you know, 10 years behind everyone. You know, maybe we can give a Bills the game. You know, maybe we can, like, take one from them. So I think the Dolphins have a lot of false hope that I don't see them sit, like, being a seller at the deadline. I think, if anything, I wouldn't be surprised if they buy a little bit. I know they have the Cardinals, then they go Buffalo, then they go Rams, then you go Raiders. You could easily get out of that stretch with Tua back, you know, 3-1. And you have the Patriots after that, so you can go 4-1. And then you can really sell yourself that we can be a, you know, a serious playoff team.
All right, let's go to the other side of the equation. Here are the teams, I think, and we'll obviously talk about these next week as we are right on top of the deadline at that point. Here are the teams I think are looking at being buyers. I'm going Detroit, San Francisco, the New York Jets, who at 2-5 still think for some reason that they and their booger-eating quarterback have a shot. I got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Pittsburgh Steelers as my top-tier buyers.
I think the Niners are going to in a tough spot. I don't know what you like can offer to buy, but they need to buy, right? Like, that team's falling apart. And maybe we're seeing the end of that era, if you will, of the Niners, where, like, I think Kittle does not have a lot of time left. You still got to have a heavy price to pay with Brock Purdy, which is just going to be kind of interesting. And at some point, you have to start relying on a young talent. And remember, if you make one mistake with Shanahan, good luck trying to get that, you know, trust back. CMC looks like he's on the tail end of his prime, which you can't blame him, man. That demanded miles that's on that guy, who, like, injuries was going to come. So I think they're going to be big sellers. I don't know how much they can buy, but I think they will be. I do agree with that. Lions are going to be in the conversation for an edge rusher, so I do see that. And they really do believe they can win now, and I think they can.
Dude, if they don't make a phone call yesterday for Max Crosby, I don't know what to say to him. That call's got to get made.
Exactly. They need to do anything they can to get him or just get anyone, because, like, look, the NFC will never be weaker than it is right now, right? Like, who do they honestly have to worry about? I'd argue Green Bay. But, like, Eagles are gonna trip over themselves. Cowboys are a joke. You don't have to worry about them anymore. The Niners are injury prone. They have injuries all over the field. You've just proven that you could handle the Vikings. And how good is Sam Darnold going to be in the playoffs? Really? He's going to be that good? I don't think so. Like, this is the clearest it'll ever be for them to make it to the Super Bowl. So they have to do that. I thought it for a little bit, honestly, Rob, that they would make a move for Hassan Reddick. Like, I was like, if he doesn't come back for the Jets, that could be, like, a smart move. But, yeah, they have to get on the phone and call Crosby and try to get, like, a deal done.
You mentioned Brock Purdy. And I'm real interested because I have said for a while, I was on y'all's show on Tuesday night, and I told Brad and Ryan that I look at Brock Purdy the way I look at Hawkeye in the Avengers movies. Is he more talented than the average man? Yeah, for sure. For sure. But at the end of the day, Hawkeye's dope because he's got the Avengers, right? Like, when the Chitauri and Loki came to town, what did Cap tell Hawkeye to do? Go stand over there and watch. Like, that's literally his job in that movie, is go be a spotter. Not participate. Go stand over there and be a spotter. That's Brock Purdy. He's just had Ayuk and Debo and McCaffrey and Kittle and this wonderful talent. Well, now he's down to Kittle and Jordan Mason, who, by the way, stellar way to show up and be a solid backup for CMC. But the more tape on Mason that's been viewed by other NFL teams, the slower he's been game by game. I think the 49ers are about to get a very rude awakening about the amount of money they have decided to pay to Brock Purdy, because without the Avengers, he's just a guy with a bow and arrow. And that's Hawkeye talking about Hawkeye, not me.
But maybe it's also he's got to adapt to it. Like, I don't know if it's as much as he's not as good as we think he is. Maybe it's just more of, hey, you got to get used to it, not having all these guys around and not, you know, kind of being the leader on the field and not having to lean on other guys. Like, I'd pivot more to that. And also, man, like, the defenses he struggled against, like everyone has. Like, the Chiefs defense is light years better than their offense right now. And who thought we'd ever say that with Patrick Mahomes as their QB? And like, what, he's struggling against a Vikings defense. But Brian Flores is a hell of a defensive mind, and he's confusing everybody, but he still threw for over 300 yards. I don't know if I'd go so far like he's, you know, the Hawkeye. I don't think I would, you know, give him that. If you want to do like an Avenger comparison, I bet he's like, you know, Spider-Man, but the younger guy that comes in. You know, you're not going to lead on to be a leader, and, you know, he's not going to, like, save the day for, like, you know, Captain America, but he's going to get the job done, and he's going to do his role, and he's going to win you some battles.
Lonzo, I defer like to you for a grade on that comparison.
Obviously, Mario's right, because – and also looking for guidance from the other guys, the other Avengers that have been out there. And things like, yeah, I mean, so I think he's dead on with his comparison.
Okay. I mean, I figured you would. You could have said he was freaking Iron Man, and the camaraderie was always going to be there. I respect it. All right, Mario, we have got one more real quick before we get up out of here. Andy Dalton involved in a car accident, sprained thumb. He's out. Bryce Young getting the nod for the Carolina Panthers on the road against the Denver Broncos in the Mile High City this weekend. From an outsider with less dog in the fight than we've got around these parts in upstate South Carolina, your expectations and level of interest in Bryce Young this weekend is what?
Hi. What? You had nothing to lose anymore. What do you have to lose? You have nothing to lose. You already lost your job. The team's not going anywhere. The team's not going to make the playoffs. The team's terrible. It's going to be another tanking season. Just roll it out there and play. That being said, I love the under 41.5. I've already bet it. I'm going to bet it again. I'm probably going to bet it again tomorrow. I'm going to put a lot on it. But Bryce Young, there's nothing for you to lose anymore. You've lost everything. You might as well just go out there, play ball, have fun, and just hope you get traded to an organization at the deadline.
Yeah,
maybe there's teams that want them.
This is when you know you're getting let go.
Yeah.
And so you're trying to pad your resume. That's what he's doing. He knows he's being let go, so he's got to get out there and pad that resume.
First off, you don't know he's getting let go. It's just being talked about that he is a potential trade target. And now with Tua back, assuming that Tua doesn't go full T-Rex arms on the field again after another shot to the noggin, that's the only place I think would have been a target for Bryce Young was the Miami Dolphins. And unless Tua gets rattled again, I don't think they're moving anything.
I'll add another one for you, because why not get your future while staying in the present? What about the Rams?
That's actually not bad. I mean, if there's a guy I think you could pair with BY to get the most out of him, McVay's got to be the answer. But here's my question. McVay has already tiptoed the line of retirement to move to the booth, because why not? That's all we do, is hire former dudes into the booth. If the Rams finish this year on the pace they're on, and they finish this year like 5-12, I don't think Sean McVay's coming back next year.
But then you could get a guy in his coaching tree to, you know, take his place. A guy steps up on the staff. All those guys tend to pan out. So that in a comfortable system, you have Puka Nacua too. That's a young receiver that can grow with you. I don't think McVay, like, if McVay has that and he sees something in him, I see him staying around and go, let me see if I can build a dynasty. That guy's competitive as hell, and he would love to beat the hell out of the Niners for 4 years to come.
Fair enough.
Hey, why not trade Bryce Young for Cooper Kupp?
I don't hate it because they want a second round pick, and Bryce Young is not a second round pick is the only answer, but I don't hate it. Hey, Naz, Mario Heron from the BetQL Network. He covers the NFL and the NBA, is also the executive producer on BetMGM Tonight with Ryan Horvat and Brad Evans, which you can hear every single weeknight from 7 to 11 right here on The Fan Upstate, and find Odyssey stations everywhere. Appreciate ya, brother.
Always love coming on. Thank you guys so much for having me. Tune in to BetMGM Tonight for Thursday Night Football bets and reactions. And get ready for your weekend, too, as well. We're doing a little World Series preview, too. So get in on that.
Gosh, if only you knew some baseball, guys.
Yeah, you know. We already had you on this week.
Yeah, that's true.
You act like I didn't have you on 2 days ago.
You did.
Yeah.
Talk to you next week, big dog.
Yeah.
Mario Heron. Hating ass Mario from the BetQL Network. We're back with Fight Club after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, time for the Fight Club. A lot of wrestling going on, including there is a PLE this weekend, Halloween theme, because I don't know if you knew it, but it's almost Halloween. It is nearly Halloween. Yeah.
How long can I leave up my 12-foot-tall skeleton in the front yard? I told the lady that I just want to buy a 12-foot-tall Santa outfit and dress him as Santa and leave
him
up.
You absolutely should do that.
I thought that was fair.
Or, you know, do that and put a Jack Skellington mask on.
Ooh, that's a good plan.
And there you go.
That's a good plan.
Then no one can say anything to you because you definitely are going Christmas.
Where does one find a 3-foot Jack Skellington mask?
You know a dude with a 3D printer.
That's true.
There you go. Or you could make one. You're handy. At least that's what I've been told. All right. Several different matches for Halloween Havoc and then some other news also. Julia and Stephanie Vaquer versus Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade. This is just a straight up match. So the other ones, I don't know if you've seen Halloween Havoc in the past, they spin the wheel.
Yeah.
And so the other matches are effective, but this one is not. So Julia and Stephanie Vaquer versus Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade. Who you got?
This one's tough, dude, because you got the champ on one side. You know what? Give me the newcomers. Give me the newcomers because I don't think that you can hurt the other two. I also think that whether I like it or not, and I don't, they're probably closer to the main roster debut than not at this point, Roxanne and Cora Jade, which I don't get. Like, I just don't get it.
I disagree with you there. I think Julia and Stephanie Vaquer do not stay on NXT very long.
I don't either. Here's the thing, though. We have seen a number of other indie darlings who show up to NXT, and then they end up there for a minute.
Watching them wrestle, and they've wrestled a couple of times.
Darth Angels had one match, right? Did she have one?
I think she's had two. I think they're very polished already.
Oh, they are. They're both very good, without a doubt. But I think for WWE, it's about being polished in ring, but it's also about being polished in the performance aspect of it. And I don't know that they're quite ready for what WWE wants on the main roster. I think they're hanging around for at least a few months. So give me the newcomers.
I also don't think that either one of them speak English, from is my understanding.
Stephanie, I believe, speaks it she speaks it the way that like Kairi Sane speaks English, right? Like you can get her through a promo as long as it's a line or two, but we'll see.
All right, the next match, you cannot go wrong with an ambulance match. Those things are always fun.
Oh, for sure.
And it's an ambulance match between Ridge Holland and Andre Chase. I fear for Andre Chase because Ridge Holland's a bruiser already, and you put him in this kind of match, he's going to have fun.
This has got to be the match for Ridge Holland. It's got to be the match for Ridge Holland because after the brawling brutes got broken up, Ridge is the one that kind of took the brunt of that because they found something to do for Pete Dunne. Sheamus is Sheamus, one of the icons of the sport. If Ridge Holland wants to find his way back up to main roster competition, he's got to sell himself as the guy who can end people with this match. I'll go Ridge Holland.
I'm also going with Ridge Holland. Keep an ear out. We'll find out if our theory is true about something here.
Yes, I was told that it is. It's got to be up by 10 a.m. So,
no, I mean the sound that it makes. All right. Also, Women's North American Championship, Kalani Jordan versus Fatal Influence. So the way, according to a member of Fatal Influence was determined to get this shot, then the team lost to Stephanie Vaquer and Julia. So they don't know who's facing Kalani Jordan. My guess is it's going to be a triple threat.
You're probably not wrong.
Because it's spinner's choice.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, that means they get to decide what the match is going to be, and they're going to go triple threat.
For sure. I don't know what happens here. I will say this. They did a promo with Kalani Jordan and Trick Willie to open NXT. I don't know if it was this week's or last week's. I'm still kind of getting caught up from the last couple of weeks. But if you put Kalani in a promo with Trick, I assume you're going to have her hang on for another match.
Yeah, I think she will too. But don't be surprised if a cowgirl ends up winning it. She's been there a long time, and she is a member of Fatal Influence. All right, North American Championship. This is number three, I believe, current champion, the Don of the NXT, Tony D'Angelo, versus Obafemi.
And it's a tables, ladders,
and scares
match. And I'll tell you what I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed that little 30-second promo that they did to open up NXT where he said, oh, and by the way, Don, your family won't be here to help you this time. Right? That is such a horror movie line right there for a Halloween theme, as in, why not? Is he getting them banned from ringside? Or is the show going to open with everyone else in the family murdered backstage, a la Wyatt Six style? I don't know. However, as much as you know I'm a big the Don guy, the family guy, no, you know what? He's going to win. I was going back and forth thinking Obafemi's probably going to get it back because that's a dude that I think Obafemi is main roster ready, and I think he's getting sent up sooner rather than later. That's a dude you put in a match with Braun Strowman when he comes back, and you break things.
All right, so far we have agreed on everything. And there's one last match for the NXT Championship, Trick Williams versus Ethan Page. This one will be a Devil's Playground match.
Those are always the best, too. Because it's just hardcore. It's just hardcore match. And I'm here for it.
Someone's going to end up in the candy corn, you know, stuff like that.
Somebody's getting a jack-o'-lantern put over their head. It's a classic.
Which hurts worse, falling on tacks or candy corn? I don't know. Well, Legos would hurt worse of all, but still.
So who did that spot? Somebody did a Lego spot in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and it was like, no.
I think
I
quit. I think it's the first time in I have watched dudes hit each other with barbed wire. I have watched dudes hit each other with fluorescent light bulbs. When my man opened the bag of Lego pieces on the ring, I'm like, I can't watch this match. It's too brutal for me. I'm out. This is just above my comfort level. I can't do it.
I will tell you, if you're driving past the building, Pirate Radio is alive and real. That's all I'm saying.
Sure. I'm in.
Don't know how it happened.
Hoist the
Jolly
Roger.
Why it happened.
Fly the black flag. I'll tell you what. For the sake of we have picked every match the same here, you take your pick. I'll take the opposite of whoever you pick. I'll put it on the line like that.
All right. I'm going with Ethan Page.
Okay. Give me slick Trick Willie style, y'all. Also, Ethan Page dumped his own diss track.
Yeah.
And it's spectacular, dude.
All right. Other wrestling news. Britt Baker and Adam Cole.
Whomst?
Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, friend of the show.
Thank you.
And Adam Cole, Bebe, are supposedly split.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Britt, you need a shoulder to cry on.
Yeah, Tony Schiavone will be there for that. Anyway.
Yeah,
also, I'm sorry.
That's what I was going to say.
Friend of the show,
Tony Schiavone.
Yes. Also, Adam Cole now has a cadaver bone in his body.
As a fan of the morbid and macabre, I think that's awesome. I think it's very cool that we can take parts of a dead body and put them in an alive body and make the alive body better. Science is the best. That's really cool. However, let's talk about something that actually matters. Why is Adam Cole the good guy?
I don't know.
Somebody explain to me how Adam Cole had a heel turn weeks and weeks in the making that we were all looking forward to, did the heel turn, did it very well, by the way, got MJ bleeping F over as a face because of how ridiculous the heel turn was, and then he comes back and he's the good guy because
MJF needs to be a heel.
I don't disagree. Yeah. And there's a way to do
and
that.
And last night, he did his... did a back and forth while on the massage table and had a happy endings joke at the end of it. So, I mean, you know.
I'll say this about MJF. Best heel in the game to the point that even I'm like, I'm uncomfortable. It's fake and I'm uncomfortable, MJF, which I guess is the mark of a great heel.
For sure. All right. Tomorrow around 10:30, we've got a surprise. You guys are going to have to wait to hear it, but I want to go ahead and announce it.
Yeah, because we're not jinxing this one.
I'm going to announce it because I'll get jinxed. This show won't get – I mean, we haven't figured out the logistics yet as far as where it's going. Well, we know for sure it's going to air on the Upstate Pulse on Saturday night because we can't get this guest until after the show. Still trying to work on StreamYard. If that could happen, then you guys will get to see it before it airs there. And so Glenn Jacobs, better known as Kane.
Only known as Kane.
Yeah, unless you're in Tennessee, we were contacted. I was contacted yesterday by the awesome Rob Young from Borderlands Comics and Games and South Carolina Comic-Con Jr., which happens this Sunday, by the way. And Kane is going to be a guest at South Carolina Comic-Con Jr. at the Convention Center in Greenville. You should check it out. Is going to come on, and we're going to interview him. And because we're going to be off the air on this show, we will play it in its entirety on the Upstate Pulse on News Talk 98.9 WRD Saturday night. So keeping our fingers crossed. Sometimes these things fall through, but because of their schedules and all that kind of stuff, looking forward to talking to Kane. So yeah. If you have any questions that you want us to ask Kane, non-political, please send them to us.
The Big Red Machine.
Perfect for Halloween.
Without a doubt. I have considered being Kane for Halloween many times. I don't know
that you have the build for it, but I mean, you know.
I mean, a couple more.
I mean, maybe 6 months ago.
A couple more oatmeal pies in the bank. I might there get there. I have one question that I have to get to, which is, in the promo backstage you did when you were tag teaming with Hulk Hogan and The Rock and you dumped both of their catchphrases on them, how did you get that through that without laughing your ass off? Because you broke Hogan and you had The Rock doing Jim Halpert looks into the camera. How did you get through that without dying laughing? Because I don't know.
All right, time to take this thing in a different direction.
I swear if you say Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, I'm walking out of the studio. I'm telling you right now.
I have a legitimate question I have to ask you. November 15th, Tyson versus Paul. Tyson posted a sparring video and said, the boxing veteran, he said, oh, I can't wait till November 15th. I'm charging right through you. Looking forward to that. With all the bluster and everything that Rob Brown is saying, he's absolutely going to watch that fight because you guys are going to watch that fight. And if he's truly a person of the people, as he claims to be, well, then he's got to do what the people are doing, give the people what they want, and watch that fight. And plus, it's on Netflix. Netflix, so it's not going to cost anything. All right, you're listening to The Rob Brown Show right here on The Fan Upstate.
Green 80, Green 80.
All right, you cannot convince me that wasn't Kevin Owens talking.
It wasn't. It's Dan Clark, starting center for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
I knew it was Canadian. That accent sounds just like Kevin Owens.
Yeah. Saskatchewan.
I bet he could also do all that in French.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi? That was Dan Clark of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders running through what a pre-snap looks like for a starting center. So when I have said to you in the past, number one, God, I love when football dudes talk football. All right. It's just an art. It's poetry is what it is. Number two, when I've said many times, offensive lineman might be the most difficult position on the football field to play and nobody gives him credit for it. That's why Dan Clark, you legend.
Until I see video evidence, that was Kevin Owens. All right. The first thing it's Xing is Keyleth.
Well, the newest three episodes of Critical Role, I believe the final three episodes of this season three.
It is 12. They've already been renewed for season four, by the way.
Yes. Dropped today, and I know that there is going to, without giving any spoilers, a couple of very interesting things are happening in the show. Even if you're not a D&D guy, if you're just into like the Lord of the Rings high fantasy stuff, Critical Role is fun. It's just fun.
It's very adult, though.
It is very adult. Yeah, don't watch it with the kids. Watch it with the kids if you don't care about it, but they're phenomenal. It's a phenomenal show. And I know that these last three episodes are going to center around a wonderful character named Keyleth, who is she's a member of the Air Ashari. She's effectively, for you uber nerds, and a firebender.
She's kind of like a druid.
She is a druid. Yeah, she's a nature druid, but she's from the Air Ashari. I know I'm dorking out. I don't care. The show's good. Shut up.
The season's been rough. That's all I'm saying.
The season's been incredible. And stakes were raised.
All right, emotionally, it's been rough.
That's fair.
And I can't wait to see, and I'm also dreading the last three episodes. All right, the next thing that's axing is Pacheco.
I'm assuming that would be of the Isaiah version. Of course, the Kansas City Chief, who was not... I can't believe Patrick Mahomes took him out. I mean, Mahomes just flat out took him out.
I hope he apologized.
I guarantee you. Not, like, jokes aside, I guarantee he did. I guarantee he did. Either way, is he getting set to return?
He has been seen around the locker room without a walking boot.
Okay.
Even though he broke his leg, he's been seen around without a walking boot.
Okay. I'm interested.
And, people are getting pretty excited about not only the newest addition, but some of the guys who are hurt possibly coming back. All right, the next thing that's Xing, and I did not click on it, but it was Xing, so I'm going to say it anyway. Mia Khalifa is Xing. So clicking on that would be a bad idea.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and say...
I'm guessing it's probably political, but I was not going to click on it.
It is political, and I don't know that because I clicked on it, so that we're clear to my bosses that may or may not be listening. Mia Khalifa is a porn star. At one point, she was the number one porn star in the world, apparently, and I don't know.
She also put a video out at one point with Deshaun.
Yes, she did. I believe that is correct. Mia Khalifa at one point was the most popular
porn
star.
Not that kind of video. They were like throwing a football or something.
Allegedly. Mia Khalifa. Yeah, you think that was... Okay, we'll leave that alone.
I'm sure it went somewhere.
Mia Khalifa was the number one, for a hot minute, the number one porn star in the world. And apparently she... I don't know what it is. I don't care, because I'm going to be honest with you, and this may shock you. I don't care what Mia Khalifa thinks about anything at all in my life. And this is not degradation of porn stars or sex workers. I don't care. You're an adult. Live your life. And be aware there are adult consequences that come with, in this case, very adult decision making. She apparently said something today in the political sphere that has even, I'm going to use the phrase, Mia Khalifa fans. Like, nah, that ain't it, sis. That ain't it, queen. We ain't going to go. Okay. That's the most Mia Khalifa talk we've ever had on the show, and if we play our cards right, probably the last.
Yeah, let's.
I want to know. Lonzo brought it up, not Rob Brown.
Okay,
I didn't bring that up.
It was Xing, and we stayed in the realm that supposedly we believe it was in.
Anything and everything goes when it comes to what the X is going on.
All right, one last thing.
Yes,
Bron Breakker.
The dog versus the werewolf. Lonzo, I will pay for that on a pay-per-view. I will buy a pay-per-view for that. Yeah, I know I don't, yeah. But I would. That match is going to slap.
It's his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Bron Breakker. Did you see Steiner's other kid, the one that's playing football for, who is it, La Tech or whoever? He hit the Rick Steiner celly when he scored on Tuesday night.
I did not see
that. He hit the full bicep kiss and everything.
I have to look that up.
Oh, super dope. Hey, that's it for us. You'll have a wonderful rest of your day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Come back tomorrow, because you know the Friday edition is going to get hype. Have a great rest of your Thursday. We'll see you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better, on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.